Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa, whoa. KZ got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Enjoy some ice cold Hey Man Ale right here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Thanks for coming out and hanging out with us on a Friday as we get ready for the SEC Championship. Falcon Report's on the way. But getting a chance to see all the wonderful folks come out here today, Mike, hanging out with us. And you said it, the Marines are here.
Yeah, the Marines have landed in Buckhead. So come on down to Twin Peaks. Our buddy Akeem, we're just catching up with him. He's a good friend of mine. We used to run pretty hard back in the single days. He's got a son who's like 4 and looks like he's about 8. Akeem was just telling us he's doing Taekwondo and he's beating up all the other 4-year-olds. They came up to him and said, can your kid move up maybe an age group? He's like, no, man. Tell those other kids to fight more.
You know what? There's always that kid that's bigger than everybody else. Akeem, that's going to be your boy. He's going to be bigger than everybody else. And then they're going to question his birth certificate. How old is this dude, for real?
Danny Almonte, literally. Yeah. Well, anyway, real quick, Auburn or Georgia, which way is he leading? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, really.
Anyway, we got the Falcon Report, guys, and we've got some good news. But it's just, you know, be honest, we were just talking about this with a couple of listeners at the bar. It's just a mixed emotions type vibe. You know, I'm glad we can see Chris Lindstrom come back. Can't wait to see what this guy can do. He looked like he's all apart. You got a guy who's a guard out of Boston College. That's an offensive line factory.
Right.
He had the ankle injury, or the foot injury, I should say, and he played hurt, played in that game, eventually comes out. But we really could have used him. Part of the reason why we are where we are is the offensive line investment has been a pretty big disaster. Brown and Carpenter, Schweitzer, these guys have not been able to step up. They were brought in precisely for the kind of thing that happened. And McGarry, as we talked about the stats on Wednesday, he's given up more sacks than anybody at that tackle position right now in the league.
Well, that was a number that was a little bit surprising because, again, as a fan, you don't pay attention to how many sacks or pressures a guy's given up. And when you start looking at those numbers, you go, Caleb McGarry hasn't been as good as we thought. But is that unfair given the circumstances of all these guys rotating in and out with him? If he had consistency next to him, throughout the course of the season, would he be different? Would he be a different player? I don't know. What I do know, Mike, is this. It's hard for me, and I'm going to say this, and I think I speak for a lot of Falcon fans, to get excited about a team that's 3-9, knowing that our playoff chances are out of the window. And even though, you know, they are playing for what is called professional pride, because that's where we're at right now. You're a professional. You get paid a lot of money to go out here and perform, and they're going to do that. But for me, the end result ultimately is going to be the same 4 weeks from now that it is right now. And that's, we're not going to be talking about any chance or hopes of winning a game or two to get into the playoffs. So, yeah, I think there's a frustration that we've been talking about all season long. But now it's real.
Right.
You know, even when we were, you know, 1-4 or whatever it was, Mike, and we were like, hey, there's hope. And as the season played itself out, and even coming out of the bye week, you went, all right, well, you know, we run the table.
Right.
Now, guys, it doesn't really matter, and that's the part where reality slaps you in the face. We're not being negative Nellies. We're not telling you not to go to games because we're going to go. You guys, we talk about it all the time, but what we are saying is the reality of not where it was earlier in the season, thinking that we could or don't show up on Sunday.
Well, I mean, this is why, and again, we're not knocking Arthur. I was just legitimately confused about what you meant with your evaluation. You said after the Seahawks loss, you were going to evaluate. Well, they had the bye week. We won 2 games. We looked like world beaters. And then we stunk it up against the Bucs, and then obviously we lose again to the Saints on Thanksgiving night. And we had injuries, and a lot of guys were out of position, yada, yada, yada. You lose to this team that you destroyed in Charlotte a couple weeks ago. I don't know if Arthur feels the need to move on from Dan Quinn this week. Some owners, as we said, the wisdom behind it is, and you heard David Tepper explain it, wants to get first crack at some of the better names out there.
Right.
Wants to be ahead of the curve as far as who again, there might be a guy that we haven't even talked about that's not listed on those 6 or 7 names you see everybody putting out there now, but who's going to get the next NFL jobs? But you got to start the process. I think what the problem is with Falcon fans is there's a lot of Falcon fans like me. I'm confused. Are you really considering bringing Dan Quinn back next year? That can't happen. That cannot happen. All right, we've lost 2 years in a row now. We haven't gone back to the playoffs. We've had injuries. Everybody's dealing with injuries. The Steelers, and you bring it up all the time. Mike Tomlin's rallied around that team. They're on the cusp of the wild card. So I can't go to battle once again with this guy as head coach, as a fan, and the same general manager who's been doing the same things, which have been this perpetual cycle of having to throw free agents on the line because you can never get the offensive line right.
All right, all right. So you are – it won't change your mind any.
Win, lose, or draw, I want to move on from this, from the current
– okay.
The brain trust. So I want those guys to move on and find some other guys.
So if you are – and I don't know where you are right now with this. Or if you're on the fence, and let's just say we don't show up Sunday. Let's just say we have another bad game, another bad performance with a team that just fired Ron Rivera, who has been the mainstay and the steady there forever since 2011. Doesn't that matter to you as the owner just a little bit?
Yeah, I mean,
shouldn't there be more emphasis this weekend with what's happened with Carolina? That's where I'm going with this.
And
I think that the owner, you know, again, we don't know what Arthur's mindset is, but if I'm the owner, I'm going, okay, I've evaluated all this stuff, Mike, and like you said, we don't know what it is. But then Sunday you go in and you go, we better play well because, first of all, we're not playing for anything. You got nothing to lose.
The only thing you're
right?
playing for is Dan Quinn, and the players to a man say they love Dan Quinn.
So let's see the effort. And that's where I'm going. And if it doesn't happen, doesn't that make you slide over to this way just a little bit and go, well, I don't understand that. If you're the owner, you go, okay, well, that's another one that I got to chalk up and put a check mark by.
Right. And I think, you know, it's funny. I've seen a lot of folks, and every now and again we'll get somebody hit us up on Twitter. Follow us, by the way, at Dukes of Bell 929. Carl's put them up. See Dukes. I'm Mike Bale, ATL. But, Carl, I've had guys come at me and go, well, there's just nobody out there. You'll find somebody.
What do you mean, coaches?
Yeah, like there's – come on, guys. That's the same argument that some Georgia fans had about Mark Richt. You could never move on from Mark Richt because Mark had done better than previous coaches who had underachieved named Jim Donnan, right, and Ray Goff. It's all relative, you know. Ron Rivera is at the same boat that Dan Quinn is in. Since winning, or in this case, losing the Super Bowl, both coaches under 500 for their career now. I mean, the team is under 500 with these coaches. Dan is under 500 since we won the Super Bowl. It's just, to me.
Was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, they went there, they lost to the Broncos, and of course, you know, I know how ours turned out. I just want to see a fresh approach. I don't think you got to go scorched earth. I don't think you got to blow this thing up. You got guys. We got Grady Jarrett having a season of his life. You got Debo, right? You got, obviously, Julio and Ridley and Matt. You got enough to – it doesn't require, Carl, a gigantic refit. You can do it with the right moves. But you got to get some new eyes on the problem.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's our Falcon Report. It's always brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Yeah, man, Domino's, 50% off, guys, again, through the 8th. That's through Sunday night. Get your favorite pizzas, 50% off, all the details at Domino's.com.
Craig, let's hear some Julio Jones. We'll hear some Julio coming up because Julio talked about missing the game, Mike, and coming back. We know he's a competitor. And then he also talked about Roddy White, which I want to let you hear because, you know, he's been the mentor. He was the mentor guy for Julio, and we know that. And Julio's talked highly of him throughout the course of his career. We talked about Roddy going into the Ring of Honor on Sunday, which is a tremendous honor. And you said it. I expect the crowd to give him an amazing ovation, man.
Right, and I understand there's always a lot of fans in the stands for the first time, so you're going to walk around, take it all in. It was kind of a drag to see how empty. I hate the way those VIP, you know, everyone's having a good time in the AMG club and all that, but you got nobody. Tony Gonzalez is staring into an empty field-level stands when he's showing his Hall of Fame ring presentation they did a few weeks back. Either way, Carl, this team, you know, this team is just so frustrating because I just gave you some examples of guys that are doing good work and the guys that are actually like, who are you? I'm the guy doing my job. You must be the other guy. We got too many of the other guys. I am excited to see what Lindstrom can do. Remember the argument we used to have in the summer? Could you start two rookies on the right side?
Yeah.
Lindstrom would be better than anything you rolled out there next to Caleb McGarry this year.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Mike. I never thought it was an argument. I know some people brought that up, but when you draft guys in the first round, they should be starting for you, period. Like, that's the only way you get better. That's the only way guys get better in this league. You don't draft a guy in the first round, I don't care if he's 32nd or not, and go, well, we're going to sit him and wait. If he's the best option for you, he should have been starting. And I think that's what they went in thinking. Right. And then you had the injuries take place and the heart abrasion and all that stuff, which kept, obviously, Caleb McGarry out of the lineup and then Lindstrom getting injured. But that's just unfortunate. Those guys will be back. And I agree with you, man. This is not, from a personnel standpoint, when you talk about skill positions and building blocks, you have some. Who can come in and put it together is the question.
Right. I just want to see something different. And again, this is not new for newness' sake. The object, guys, is to win the Super Bowl. The object is not have December games where you can't give the tickets away. And as a fan, as a season ticket holder, that's where we're at right now. It's a real drag. The one thing I am excited also about, brother, can you get some confidence with Matt and Austin Hooper back and see those guys connecting? Because that really, I think Austin Hooper is such a big part of this offense that we kind of underestimate.
He's had a huge season. Yeah, he's had a huge season.
Because Matt's been sitting there like a sitting duck.
Yeah.
Matt can get the ball out quicker to Ridley and Julio. That's another thing. What is Cutter coming up with here now that you got the full arsenal back?
Well, we will see. And remember now, we didn't need all of that because everything seemed to go our way. We got turnovers in the last game against Carolina. We got a kick return for a score. You get all of that stuff, and you don't need the offense to be, you know, incredible. But with that said, we still got to find a way to contain Christian McCaffrey, guys. He is still doing his thing. And whether they've changed coaches or not, he's still going to be the mainstay. Remember, mostly all the offensive coaches are still there.
Yeah, North Turner's still, you know, up there doing his thing.
His son's running the offense now. Turner's been kicked up to the front office or like an advisory role.
So now, again, do you have any idea what we're going to see from Carolina?
Well, yeah, I think they're going to do similar things, but I think they're going to give him an opportunity to show. I think it's Scott Turner we talked about. He's going to get an opportunity to show the owner, Dave Tepper, whether or not he's the guy of the future.
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of – these are all auditions now for Carolina. All these jobs and all these guys, it's all auditions.
Right.
It's Dukes and Bell, man. Craig, let's hear from Julio Jones before we get out of the Falcon Report. Brian Jones on the way from CBS Sports. He's a college football analyst, guys. He will join us, and Brian will talk about this LSU-Georgia matchup tomorrow at Mercedes-Benz. Here's Julio talking about Roddy White.
I probably said this early on in my career, but you hear stories, guys don't want to help guys and things like that, or they feel like a guy's coming in and trying to replace them. But it was never the case. He wanted to win. And by getting me up to speed, getting me confident to make plays will help us win games.
We all love Roddy. Great guy, great Falcon, as we said. Swagger, attitude, toughness. You know, the fact that he had a 1,000-yard season, Carl, when Mike Vick was in the Huskow with a bunch of nobody throwing him the rocks, was kind of his breakout year.
Yeah.
Shows you what this guy kind of skills he had. I just wish we could have had a way that Roddy could have been a part of that Super Bowl season. He was gone. No one picked him up. Again, next time we get Rich on, I just would love to know if there's somewhere, somehow, we can find some kind of stuff inside, around the Halo board, or somewhere field, we can hang some of that stuff to honor these guys.
Yeah, it may be something. We didn't get a chance to talk to Rich McKay today about that, or this week, but we will.
The big story, though, is SEC Championship. Brian Jones, one of our favorite guests, he's on the way. We got stuff, man, and we're hanging out at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. We got Ice Cold Hey Man. We got LSU fans rolling in. We got some dog fans at the bar. We got the Marines. We got a crew.
Falcon fans, 2 hours before every Falcon game, it's the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Harry Douglas, Paul Crane, they preview the Falcons matchup and get you ready for the game, guys. It's brought to you by Bud Light Brewed for the Dirty Birds. What's Brian Jones talking about? Find out next.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
How do you do that again? Second time in a row.
What are you talking about?
Get that apple dessert, eat it in front of me. You don't even offer a piece. You don't even say, hey, partner.
I told
5
you.
5 years on the radio together. You don't even offer me a piece of the apple turnover.
You know how I do. I eat one of them. I have a little bit of ice cream. And then I set it to the side. You're more than welcome to have as much as you want. I just want a little taste.
You know what?
I'm not going to eat 5 apple turnovers in here.
Very selfish. My cheese balls are your cheese balls. You know, but you can't share the turnovers. I know what I saw.
Yeah. And those cheese balls were good, thanks, by the way. Hey, we're going to get to our strong arm story of the day, which happens to be our man, Brian Jones. And, of course, Brian, man, we are here once again, back in the SEC Championship. And back in the ATL. Welcome back, by the way. How you doing?
I'm doing terrible because not only do y'all don't share dessert, you didn't even invite me to the Jamaican Christmas party last night. You knew my ass was in town.
Bruh.
Y'all just a selfish punk. Selfish punk. This is the last radio interview I'm ever doing with you, so lose my number because you don't like to share.
Hey. By the way, the Jamaican food was off, though.
It was good, bro.
Oh, it was delicious.
Oh, then you want to throw the oxtails and the curry goat and all that in my face. Okay.
It is Brian Jones. Again, guys, the SEC on CBS and CBS Sports Network. He is one of our favorite guests. So what do you say, man? Georgia, we've been talking about this offense. There's nothing wrong with the offense. It's just not as dynamic as everybody else in college football right now, Brian.
Well, there's no continuity because of their turnover at wide receiver. Of course, Cager is out. And he came up big for the Dogs in the big game versus Florida. And now you got Pickens, who's going to sit out the first half of another ball game. And he's been the go-to guy for Fromm here late. But, you know, everyone's looking at Jake Fromm as if he's some distressed property well, there's no diminished value in terms of his touchdowns since that loss against South Carolina, I should say, and those turnovers he had in that ball game. He hasn't thrown an interception since then. As you guys know, he had three. So he's still balling. He just has no continuity with this revolving door at wide receiver, and they think they're going to definitely need that in tomorrow's ball game, considering the athleticism that the secondary that LSU will have with the freshman Stingley, of course, Delpit and Fulton and Stevens back there. So, you know, if they can cover up those guys, LSU, and that will allow them to put an extra man in the box, you know, that bodes well for LSU's defense, which has been as maligned as has the Bulldogs' offense.
It's Brian Jones talking with us here about the SEC championship. Joe Burrow, you've seen him all season long. What do you tell somebody who hasn't seen him play up close and personal how good he is?
Well, you tell him that the kid is unflappable. You tell him that he is a student of this game. And I know we throw that around, but this guy loves football. He's the son of a former college defensive coordinator. So he knows how to read defenses. He stays so cool in the pocket, and he's taken to these new concepts that Joe Brady, who came over from the Saints, has installed. He's just lit up. As you look at his stats, you know, all types of records, he's just lit up the competition, including our Longhorns. So this guy, you just have to love his moxie, his demeanor in the pocket, the way he can manipulate safeties and guys in the secondary. It's just little subtle idiosyncrasies that he employs in his game when you watch him, whether it's stepping up in the pocket or is moving to his left or his right. That's why my colleague Rick Neuheisel has likened him to the next Tom Brady, because of those little subtle movements and nuances that the quarterbacks need to manipulate defenders. So he has all that. He knows how to get rid of the football. And also, if you cover his guys, and you got a lot of people you got to cover, all those receivers, and of course Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of the backfield. If you get all those guys covered, then the young man can invoke his athleticism, because he has some wheels, and we've seen him use them, especially in that Bama game, late in that game, where they needed to keep moving the ball, keep their defense on the sideline, their defense, and Alabama's on the field. What did they do? It was Burrow running the little RPOs. And he just gutted Alabama with his legs. So he's a complete package, man. And you're just not going to phase it. And you hope, you know, if you're a Georgia fan, they can get to him. That's going to be the key, because this guy is so cool. I cool hand Luke, even though his name is Joe.
That's the thing, Brian. We talked to our your compatriot, Brad Nessler, saying the same thing, man. He's just a guy that keeps it together. Here's the other thing. Can Georgia, or is this an oversimplification, B? Can Georgia take the, you know, do what the Giants did against the Bills back in 91? Just eat clock. It sounds great, but can they do it?
Well, yeah, you know, DeAndre Swift, you still want to be concerned about his gifts and what he brings to the table, even though he's a little dinged up with that shoulder, and hopefully that won't hamper him in this ball game, like it did to Kerryon Johnson a few years back when Auburn was in this ball game. Remember, Kerryon got hurt in that Alabama game, and then in the rematch versus Georgia, he wasn't the same guy. So they're hoping that they can control the line of scrimmage with their running game. I give Georgia the edge with that big old offensive line. This will be the best offensive line that LSU has faced. And LSU does not have a stellar defense yet. They played lights out last week. They're hearing all the noise about how they played versus Ole Miss, giving up 600 yards of total offense, 400 on the ground. You know, then they had the game against Arkansas. That didn't count. A little bit better competition last week versus Texas A&M. They held them to 169 total yards of offense. A&M only completed 11 of 34 passes in that ball game. So they stepped up and played lights out. They're going to have to do that in this one. But they have to bring the blitz more times than not to apply pressure on the quarterback. So they're hoping they can cover on the back end with the minimum amount of guys, and that's going to allow them to bring an extra guy in the box to stop DeAndre Swift, which is a tall task.
I feel like I'm in the barbershop right now and Coming to America. That boy good! That boy good!
You lying! You lying!
He's Brian Jones, man, CBS sports analyst. He's in town, college football SEC championship tomorrow. All right.
By the way, you guys going to go halfsies on that that bowl game in Juarez you guys have at Texas?
Okay, see, he's got jokes. You see what he's trying to do here, right? You see what he's trying to do to us.
Don't be messing with my emotions, man.
Hey, let's talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I've been saying this, Brian. I want to get your take on it. I think tomorrow one of the big keys is Georgia's linebackers making plays in space and containing this guy as much as possible. You know, that goes for Trey Crowder, Monty Rice, the inside guys. But also on the outside, you know, where you got Jermaine Johnson and Walter Grant. All those guys got to make plays against obviously maybe the most elusive back they've seen all season.
Yeah, man, I'm a baller from 21 Savage. I love this Georgia defense for so many reasons. I mean, you look at the categories that they sit atop. How many they sit atop? A lot. I mean, this defense, collectively, they may be no-name, faceless defense, but collectively, they are so stout. They play well together. They trust each other. And if you got a gap, you make sure you're in that gap. You trust that your buddy's going to take care of his gap. You got Cloud, Backer, Sky Force. You're going to make sure you contain that damn offensive play. So collectively, these guys, they really fly around. The pursuit drill, they must work on that down there half the practice, because you're going to find a whole bunch of dogs meeting at the ball on each and every play, it seems like. So, but they're going up against this Helaire kid. He's got a deadly spin move. He's slicker than snot on a doorknob. He is put together. He only goes about 5'8", but he is thick. Seeing him in person when we did our show there live from Alabama when they took on LSU, man, I admired him from afar even more so when I saw him in person. And you got that low center of gravity. Anyone's played defense, man, when you got to look back like that, like, because low man win, it's like, damn, first of all, you can't find him half the time behind those big old behemoths in front of him. And then that low center of gravity, he can cut and all that. And that's the big difference also in this LSU offense. Last year, they were leaving that guy in to block. This year, they're getting him out in the flat. He's getting one-on-one with backers, and he's leaving them in the dust. There was a play in that Bama game. It was about 3rd and 8. They had this. They got the ball in his hands about, you know, a yard in front of the line of scrimmage, so he's got 7 to go. He got away from our two back, Alabama defenders were on him, and he was still able to power through those guys and pick up 7 more yards. That's what they're going to be dealing with tomorrow. This guy's elusive. He is strong, and he's a hell of an athlete. So playing his face is paramount for these Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow.
All right, Brian, got about 30 seconds left with Brian Jones from CBS. Kirby's had some tight moments coaching with management. The fake punt, obviously, everyone was talking about against Bama last year. Ed Ogeron's kept his hands off of Brady and Emziger with the play calling. Any coaching advantage as far as the two guys in charge?
Well, you know, Kirby, 3rd year in a row, he's gotten his dogs here to Atlanta. So, and he's won one, of course. And last year at OC, hat-tricks by Alabama and Jalen Hurts. I mean, you can't write a better script. And also losing here in the national title game, I mean, wow. They've had some heartbreakers. Yeah, and there have been some dumbfounding calls that he's made in crucial moments. But the guy plays to win. And, you know, at some point you would think the ball would bounce in his favor. But I love what Orgeron's doing as well. Those kids play for him. He knows where you know his knowledge and his experience, where it's needed on that football team. He knew he needed to go out and get a quarterback and find a system that suited his quarterback. So he leaves that offense to Ensminger and Joe Brady, and he does his thing on the defensive side. I argue there's no one that has coached as many All-American defensive lineman is Ed Orgeron. Look throughout his career, man. He's had some superstars no matter where he's been. So those kids love him. They play for him. I'm going to say it's a first. That being said, I think Ed Orgeron wins Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I agree with you. Brian, we always look forward to visiting with you, man. And enjoy your time here in the ATL. We expect a good game tomorrow. Appreciate you stopping by the show, brother.
I would have enjoyed it a lot more if I'd been invited to the Jamaican spot, but that's all right, Mom.
This dude. You know what?
Well, you're missing out on Twin Peaks right now, Joe.
We can never – it's right. We can never please you. You know, you're one of them brothers. We can never please you.
Well, no. Well, first of all, I never received my steak. I come to Atlanta all the time. You never invite me in studio. You don't invite me to your little party last night. Now you're in Twin Peaks.
Bo, you
give me the heads up about that.
All right.
You know, I like the Peaks, too.
All right, we got you. Howls, Bones, wherever you want to go, we got you.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take care of that. Next time you are in town, we're going to get you in studio, and we're going to chop it up for an hour, okay?
Come on, let's do it.
Our people will call your people.
Okay, sounds good. Brian Jones, thanks so much, man.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, B.
You too.
Hey, man. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Guys, look, we got a nice full house. We got LSU fans. We got everybody having a good time. Georgia fans. Guys, everyone's got a plan. Hear this?
Everybody.
I'll tell you, Carl, Mike, what we got to do is we got to get Burrow out of the game. Well, nobody's been able to do that yet, brother. Everybody's got a plan.
Everybody does. Hey, we got some guy talk coming up. Coach gets fired in New York. Question is why. Jerry Jones hangs up on somebody. We've got all that and a story you don't want to miss.
Yeah, a guy that everybody hates on the PGA Tour just got nailed for cheating.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah! Yes! Yeah! Welcome to Atlanta
where the players play. Top 3 and 6 on the way. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. It is Dukes and Bell, and appreciate if you missed it, Brad Nessler. He's going to have the call for CBS tomorrow. He stopped by the show today talking about the SEC championship. Our man Brian Jones from CBS as well, college football analyst, breaking it down. All of those interviews can be found, guys, at radio.com. You can go rewind feature, check out the show, or go to our website at 929thegame.com. All right, Mike Bell, we got a lot of stuff going on, bro.
We talked about this earlier today in the NFL Blitz, but if you guys missed it, Jerry Jones goes on the radio. He talks to everybody. And when you're winning, it's fun to go in there, but the Cowboys don't beat good teams. We know that. And if you didn't see it last night, they gave the Bears a shot of life. They've won 2 games in a row, and Trubisky looks like he's getting it together. So Jerry goes on the radio with KC, the masterpiece, the show down in Dallas. And he's a little hot. Take a listen to how the exchange went. Eventually, he drops something you can't say on the radio on the radio.
Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together yourself. we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan, Jerry.
We've got a lot to go over, and I'm going with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning. And I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today. We want to do a good job here. I want to do a good job with you guys, but there's a whole bunch of time when I have to bullshit the hell out of you.
Mm-hmm. I totally understand that because of some of the answers you just can't give.
Do you understand bullshit? And so the bottom line is that you can imagine I'd like to make this better.
What would be your response to the fans who last night on social media said they felt like this team quit on Jason Garrett?
Oh, all right, that's it.
Now, Jerry didn't hang up. There's a system in some radio stations. If you drop too many blank bombs and you got to hit the delay button, you hear us when we do our game winner. Apparently, they got a system in place, Carl, where I guess it clicks the caller off the air.
Well, and
so they had to call him back.
Yeah, allegedly they called him back, finished the interview. Jerry goes on there every week. That's a weekly deal. Used to do that many years ago on the ticket there, but it's 105 The Fan in Dallas. Here's the deal, though. Either way, Mike, what do you take? Because part of me laughs at this because he sounds like an old man that just wasn't going to take on. That's like you calling your grandpa.
Boy, don't be playing with me. I ain't got time for this today. I'm tired.
Late flight last night. I'm not going to jack with you, okay? I'm not going to BS you.
No, like everybody knows the story. Jimmy Johnson built that team. He ripped off the Vikings, built everything, laid the foundation. You won the Super Bowls there. Barry Switzer got a ring he doesn't even deserve.
Yeah.
And Jimmy, when he left, all the brains of the Cowboys went out the window. They have not been back to the NFC Championship since 95. We've talked about it. He's hit on a couple of offensive linemen. He's actually put a good O-line together. But he made stupid trades. Remember the Roy Williams deal? Made dumb trades for wide receivers. You know, he's hit on a few. He's hit or miss. But at the end of the day, he is the constant in the equation. So when is Jerry Jones ever going to take himself out of the mix? Son Steven. No, you're going to have Danny. Can I be running the team, Danny? You know, my hat came off.
He's got the most expensive offensive line in the league, Mike.
That's the one thing he's hit on.
Well, the talent level, though, for what they've done and not living up to the expectation. We're mad here because of what the Falcons are. They spent a lot of money in Dallas. He spent a lot of money on these pieces, including Ezekiel Elliott, who you just spent all that money on in the offseason.
Right.
And you're hardly using. Last night was another game where they should have ran the football and taking a little pressure off of Dak, they went away from it. And that all falls on the back of Jason Garrett. I think Garrett, everybody's talking about he's not going to fire. I think Garrett's going to be fired. I just think Jerry is trying to be as patient as possible with this situation. When you talk about now, they've lost another game, and they're on the bark or the edge of not making the playoffs. There's a chance the Cowboys could blow this thing completely right. and lose their division and not get in, because that's the only way they're going to get in is win their division.
Right, and much like the Seattle Seahawks here, they were 7-9. You could have a 500 team with Philadelphia. Anytime you think Philadelphia is kind of coming out of the weeds, they do something screwy. So they've been on Doug Peterson's butt up there. Also today, guys, it's our Guy Talk Report brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. The Knicks fire Fizz, former Hawks assistant, good guy, was black-on-black violence, as Scott Perry fires his head coach up there at the Garden. And Fizz was, I mean, I love the guy. I mean, he's a good dude, but they made him the scapegoat.
What is whose orders is Perry following?
Is it Dolan?
Of course it
is. I don't know. Dolan is such a putz. I have no idea what's going on.
Listen,
with that team.
The Knicks will never quote me on this. Write it down. Take a picture. The Knicks will never win anything as long as James Dolan is the owner.
So the same thing for the wrong reasons and the different reasons than Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
Yeah, because Dolan has been such a guy that nobody wants to work for. We said this. Think about the free agent action this year. How do you miss that? You're New York City. You're the Knicks.
Right. And nobody wants to come and play for
you. How do you miss out on these free agents? That's ownership.
Brooklyn's got more juice than the Knicks. And the Knicks, now again, it's one of those hallowed franchises. But again, you want to talk about, and again, the only reason you say, well, why are people still going there? It's just that people love basketball in the city. The Wall Street guys, you always have the courtside seats with celebrities.
It's hoops,
but it's insane. It's just bad basketball.
Yeah, I just think Dolan has been the reason why that organization's been trash. He's not going to fire himself. He's not going to sell the team. So he continues to hire bad people who run the team. And then, Mike, he always wants to butt in.
Right.
I just think it's a bad deal all the way around. And it's bad for the NBA because we always say this. It'd be nice if the Knicks were good again.
Right.
But the NBA, we've seen this, is flourishing without the Knicks being good.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers struggled for a while. Now the Lakers are back. They've come together so quickly. By the way, your boy LeBron. You know, we joked around earlier in the show about him taking the steps. That still makes me laugh.
The eight traveling steps.
He's got more Jordan rules than Jordan had. Hey, by the way, today in the Bahamas, man, the Hero World Golf Challenge, a guy that nobody seems to like on tour or in the gallery, Patrick Reed.
Why don't they like this guy?
The family dynamic. He just seems like he's a bit of a jerk. Just one of those guys. He's always got that face, like Jay Cutler. But anyway, Patrick Reed today in the Bahamas, he grounds his club in the sand, and one of those old farts watching golf on TV goes, yeah, he grounded his club. So somebody calls up, and the Golf Channel, they rerun it, and sure enough, two-stroke penalty as he took his club back in the sand. You can't move can't ground your club, can't move the sand and prove your lie. He was leading the tournament at that point, and now he's fallen off the front of the leaderboard. See where that goes. He's back a couple of strokes. Got fined two strokes, by the way, I should say. Two-stroke penalty in that one. Hey, man, Johnny Football, it's his birthday today. Johnny Manziel, happy birthday. Your wife wants a divorce. She filed the papers today.
Yikes.
Some say that she had kind of kept it together and helped him kind of maybe get it on track for a minute.
Yeah.
And now that he's lost his compass. And remember real quick.
Is she asking for money?
No, she's going to walk away for free. No, she's. I don't have the terms of what she's seeking, but the paperwork went in today. So
I'm just curious.
Happy birthday, John.
They were together for this long, Mike.
Well,
he
made $25 million. Now he's got $12 million. Congratulations. Speaking of trouble in paradise, last week we talked about the situation in New Orleans with Justin Timberlake and his young, sexy co-star.
Yes.
He's holding hands with her. People are talking. Well, some are saying that Jessica Biel made him do this public apology on Instagram. He says, I stay away from gossip as much as I can, but for my family, I feel it's important to address recent rumors that are hurting the people I love.
Mm.
And he goes on to apologize. He says, I displayed a strong lapse in judgment. Yes, wives don't like to see you holding hands with other women. That's a tender act, Carl.
He did blame it on he blamed it on the alcohol. Blame it on the
alcohol. Hey, man. Today is the 6th. You know what happened back in 1864 today? 1865?
What happened?
John Fricke was there to cover it. 13th Amendment.
Really?
Remember the Lincoln movie about they're trying to abolish slavery?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The movie with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Sure.
It finally got ratified on this date. And the Washington Monument got finished in 1884.
Fricke was there?
Fricke was there to see them top it off. At the time, it was the tallest structure in the world.
Hey, that's some guy talk for you, man. Coming up, Dave Archer in the 6 o'clock hour. Top 3 at 6. What else is going on around the world of sports? And you'll hear from Kirby Smart what he said today about LSU. It's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.